The Radio Today programme with Broadcast Bionics, working with the world's leading broadcasters and equipment suppliers to transform industry standard technologies and workflows.
Hello, my name is Stuart Clarkson. This is the weekly podcast from radiotoday.co.uk. Coming up this time, we're going to say farewell to a regular voice here on the Radio Today programme as Trevor Dann bows out. More on that a little bit later. And of course, we've got some more brilliant archive audio from David Lloyd in Radio Moments at the end of the podcast.
Original music for this podcast was composed by Mikasa.
But first, Radio Today's founder and editor, Roy Martin, is here. Hello, Roy.
Hi, Stu. How are you?
I'm all right. Greatest Hits Radio is coming. It's just days away, Roy.
We're straight in. That's enough of the niceties. We're already talking about Greatest Hits Radio.
It's the big story of the week.
It is. And I thought it was Monday, but it's not. It's Tuesday, isn't it? It's the 1st
of September. Tuesday, the 1st of September. I think everything, the last shows and all the local stations that have got them is Sunday afternoon. So Monday, presumably, is just going to be non-stop music and the Vicar talking about coming soon.
Dawn French. In fact, you played me a clip this week of Dawn getting a mention, didn't you, on one of the stations?
Yeah. So if anybody doesn't know, Greatest Hits Radio station voice is Dawn French. And she's been doing that for a year or so now since it relaunched as Greatest Hits Radio. And of course, there's all these coming soon trails that all the local radio stations are playing out like every 5 minutes. Some of them say the radio station's getting an upgrade, which has upset a few presenters here and there. Not good. But yes, because Dawn French is essentially the voice that's on all these stations most at the moment, somebody on Yorkshire Coast Radio introduced her as the Vicar. And I thought it was quite funny. Here it is.
For this special programme, there's more on that story on our website in the showbiz section. The Vicar's back.
What do the good times sound like to you?
At Greatest Hits Radio, the good times sound like this.
Brilliant. I love that. Very funny. Well done.
And Greatest Hits Radio, of course, we, at the time of recording, don't know who's on the lineup necessarily. They haven't actually said. Less than a week to go. We don't know who's on the regional drive shows, and there is a rumour that breakfast is going to change. We don't have any confirmation of that, but hopefully by the time you listen to this, all the details will be on our website, because it's got to be soon, hasn't it?
Yes, radiotoday.co.uk to get all of that. And it's a busy time for Bauer. They're integrating all these new radio stations and launching a new brand on them with some new programmes as well. And two new radio stations at the same time this week.
Yeah, so the at least one of these has been announced for a while. Hits Radio Pride, which is launching for 6 months, if I remember correctly. It's starting this weekend. And also, a bit out of the blue, Bauer launches Magic 100% Christmas.
No.
In August.
No. 25th of August. No.
I saw your tweets in response to this, and you're not a big fan of this, are you?
I like Christmas. Hey, I love Christmas, and I love Christmas songs in December.
I think why not? I think we should have Christmas radio on 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days of the year, because if you want to feel festive, just tune it in.
And there are a few of these that come every Christmas. I mean, there's been Heart Christmas and Magic Christmas and the Santa Radio and North Pole 100 and all sorts of other ones as well. And I think the good thing about having Christmas-only stations means that we don't have to play as much Christmas on the normal stations. So that it's a good thing to have 100% Christmas.
Can I just say, though, the name, why is 100% in there? Why not just call it Magic Christmas like it used to be called?
I don't know.
Do you have the answer?
I don't know, no. No is the word for everything. Just no.
Just seems clutter. Anyway. What else is happening this week?
Well, some more Bauer news, related news. Obviously, there's been some management changes and people moving to new roles. You can read the details of those at radiotoday.co.uk that we posted in the last week or so. And among those changes, Group PD at Wireless, Terry Underhill, is staying with Bauer, but he's going back on air. He's getting his headphones back out.
Terry, where do you see your future? That's probably what he got. Got the phone call. Is it in Wales? And it is in Wales. Terry is going back to South Wales because 20 years ago, it was Terry Underhill who launched Real Radio Wales and Real Radio Wales Breakfast. Actually, it was Tom Jones, wasn't it, the first voice? But Terry was on Breakfast. And now history is repeating 20 years later. Terry Underhill, without Lindsay this time, is launching a regional breakfast show in South Wales. Who knew that would happen? He didn't.
This is going to be Greatest Hits Radio South Wales, which is what Swansea Sound is renaming to. And their current breakfast show presenter is just not on air at the moment. So Terry covering for the launch and for the next few months, perhaps.
Indeed. Time will tell how long he will be in that position for. And we've had details this week of an event, a radio event, which is taking place. It's online, of course. It's the Radio Festival. Welcome back, Radio Festival.
Yeah, that's going to be happening later this year, I think over the course of a few days, in a virtual event supported by In Quality. And they are, I think they're recruiting for production team and things for that at the moment. So look at the details on the Radio Today website. And some sad news this week. We learned of the death of two figures from the radio industry. First, Doreen Davis, who was head of music and head of daytime programmes at Radio 1 for quite a period of time in the 70s and 80s. Doreen was in her 90s and well regarded by lots of the old jocks from Radio 1 days in the golden era at 1FM. So sadly missed, and some good tributes online. And also Richard Cartridge, a stalwart of the BBC in the South at Radio Solent, who only did his last programme a few weeks ago, I think, and he's sadly passed away as well this week.
Yeah, I remember making trails for him just a couple of years ago when I did some cover work in the station imaging department at BBC Radio Solent. So, yeah, sad news here in the South for another radio legend that has sadly departed us.
And a great name for a radio presenter, have Cartridge in there, when presumably he used to fire things on carts. So
I think his Twitter name was Cartbox or something like that.
Brilliant. But yeah, much missed. I'm sure they both will be. Doreen and Richard, you can read about them at radiotoday.co.uk. Right, that's it for us, Roy. I'll talk to you very soon.
I'll talk to you in 30 seconds.
Okay.
The Radio Today programme with Broadcast Bionics, creators of the Bionics Studio. Listening, watching, reacting to and learning from every spoken word, caller, tweet and SMS to unmix, unlock and understand your content. The Bionics Studio transforms everything about radio except the way you make it.
This is the Radio Today programme. I'm still here. Roy's still here. Hello, Roy.
I'm still here. We have some sad news to bring you.
Yeah. So joining us on the Radio Today programme is a voice that you will be familiar with. It's Trevor Dann. Hello, Trevor.
Well, hello and indeed goodbye.
What? So you've hosted the Radio Today programme. You were the main host of it from 2013 when this Radio Today programme launched in its current form. And up until a couple of years ago, you were doing it every week. You've been our monthly roundtable host and now you're leaving us.
Well, high time, don't you think, that I gave someone else a chance?
So we were expecting you to be back on the podcast next week doing a round table, but we're not going to be doing that. You've had a bit of a summer break as well, and that's it. Is it?
Well, it is it. And I don't want this to be a kind of Dave Lee Travis rant. I was going to just drift away quietly, but you very kindly invited me on. It's nothing more than I think I've got a bit stale. I found myself doing the roundtable, asking the same questions every month and increasingly struggling to get people on it and to be different and, you know, to get diverse panels. It just got so I looked at it, you know, like you do in August, you look forward to September as the start of the new term and you get your new pencil case and all that stuff. And I looked at the diary and I thought, not all great, it's the round table, but do I have to? Isn't it time someone else had a go?
It's funny, the listeners are thinking exactly the same as well.
They are exactly. Well, there's a great deal of relief around Radio Land, I'm sure. But it's been great doing it. I've really enjoyed it. And I will miss it. That when the time comes to do one and I'm not doing it, I'll think, no, it's a shame. I should have kept going. But the time to go is when you think you should go, not when someone else tells you that your time is up. So that's it from me.
And so for now, you're kind of the only person in the radio industry who doesn't have their own podcast because everybody else has one. So.
Well, that's a good thing, isn't it? And one of the things you mentioned, podcasts, one of the things that's been interesting to me in the last few years is I don't think I listen to as much radio as I used to. I grew up listening to pirate radio in the 60s, and I've always listened to a lot of speech radio, even when I was a teenager. And so I was obsessed and very much plugged into the radio business all my life. And now I find that I don't listen to as much radio because I'm more interested in podcasts and audio streams of music and audio books and, you know, all kinds of other things going on. And I think what's going on in the radio industry is getting a bit repetitive. It's all consolidation and cuts in commercial radio, and it's all just cuts at the BBC. And I think we are living in a creative golden age in audio production, but it's not happening so much on the radio as it's happening in the podcast world. And so I've slightly fallen out of love with the medium.
But you'll come back on the podcast again at some point, won't you?
Oh, of course. I mean, obviously, if you ask me, I'll feel free now to opine in a way that, you know, as a chairman, you don't always get a chance to do that, especially because you've pleaded with people to come on. You can hardly say, you are talking a load of old bollocks. So I'd be very happy to be a contributor if you'll ever have me. And just for a word about radio, and because we're always, you know, talking a lot about diversity these days, I do think one of the issues, and it's something that I talk to friends of mine who are my age about, is actually no radio is made for me anymore. All radio is obsessed with younger audiences, and rightly so. And, you know, I don't blame them for that one bit. But it does mean I don't think anybody sits down and thinks, what could we do that would be really interesting to middle-class blokes in their 60s? And, you know, I'm finding radio a little bit less nourishing than I used to, and that's why I've gone to find what I want in other kind of audio media.
That's sad. And your own health, obviously you had a bit of a scare last year, but you're doing all right at the minute, are you?
I'm fine, thank you, yeah. And I've... the only little bit of news in my own world, you know, and I'm still doing a bit of radio. You know, I made a show for Radio 4 with David Walliams a couple of weeks ago.
Ooh, so I'll still pick that name up off the floor.
Yeah. I'm still doing a bit of that, and I've got my voiceover agencies. And I've, after a few years of doing teaching at various universities like Salford and Nottingham Trent, I've actually gone back to school. I've enrolled to do a postgraduate course in political philosophy. So I shall be reading some Hobbes and Marx and Gramsci and all that kind of stuff. And looking forward to all that very much.
So you're still busy in radio. And to throw a question that you asked to everybody, if you don't listen to radio, there's no radio for you. What have you been listening to? What's the podcast for a 60-year-old Trevor Dan?
60.
60 and the rest, yeah. I like anything that Radiolab do. So I enjoyed the series called The Other Latif very much. And Dolly Parton's America was terrific. I always listen to Handbrake Off, the Arsenal podcast from The Athletic. I love Fortunately with Fee and Jane, anything that the New Statesman does. A lot of BBC Sounds is absolutely not aimed at me. But then there are little nuggets that I really adore. What's the one called? You're Dead to Me. You're Dead to Me is fantastic. And so there are things that I'm enjoying, you know, and as I say, there are some truly brilliant people out there making audio. And my favourite bit always of the roundtable was asking people what they've been listening to. And I've learnt so much from other people's choices. And, you know, they've sent me off on little exploratory trips of my own. So that actually is probably the thing I'll miss most. So if you keep the format going, please don't drop that bit.
Yeah, we haven't made a decision yet on how we're going to replace you. But, I mean, we mentioned you've been doing this podcast since 2013. Before that, people might remember you from the Radio Talk, which was a similar kind of format, wasn't it?
Absolutely. Radio Talk, when I was running the Radio Academy, we used to do... in my office on the first floor in Marketplace in London. And the way we did it then was we had four flash mics which we used to set going round the table. And of course, one of them would always run out of power because you couldn't plug them in. They were battery driven. But, you know, people were very kind. They would come along and they would sit and chat. And I was thinking about Radio Talk when you mentioned it, when we were just warming up. And I was thinking one of the big differences from then to now was simply that you could go to EMAP as it was, and GWR as it was, and Chrysalis as it was. And, you know, there were so many companies you could go to who wanted to be on it. And nowadays, you know, Global obviously will have nothing to do with us. Bauer are very good, but that's kind of nearly it. Wireless have been very good as well. But and you know, the BBC is even more, you know, difficult to engage with without going through the awful kind of, you know, press office filter. And I think people were a lot more open within the radio sector. You know, if you go back to the radio festivals in those days, there was much more of a sense of let's have a chat and a debate and let's agree to differ and all that kind of thing. I think now there's much more of a sense of we must all be singing from the same hymn sheet and we must all be advertising what's great about radio and audio, not debating the issues that really matter. I think we've got a bit blander and, you know, a bit less interesting for that as a sector.
Yeah, I think that's an interesting insight into the production of this podcast as well, and our struggle to get guests. Sometimes it is a lot of the time on, you know, personal connections that we've got to get people to come on, rather than, as you say, going through the corporate bodies to get them, isn't it?
Well, people are very defensive, I think, now. There's a real sense to me of people not wanting to come on to be honest, but to basically shoot the party line. There's some glorious exceptions to this, I have to say. There are people who will come on and absolutely tell you what they think, but they are fewer and further between than we'd like. And I do wish, as an industry, we were a bit stronger. We're doing this interview at the time of the Edinburgh TV Festival, which of course is happening online. And television has always been bolder than we have in radio, I think. And part of that is because a lot of people, even at, you know, director general level, have worked in commercial radio, television. Then they go back to the BBC, then they go back to commercial and so on and so on. They swap around. People are less tribal, I think, in television. And there's more of a sense of let's explore this world that we share rather than let's make a point about how our lot's better than your lot. And I wish we could be a bit more mature about the way that we debate issues that really affect all of us, whatever side of the commercial / public service divide we might think we're on.
And I think just saying about the big companies and people willing to speak to us, it goes to show, particularly at Global, how tightly formatted they are, not only in their radio programmes, but controlling of staff, because they, you know, probably on a regular basis, they say to staff, don't talk to the media. And everybody has to go through the PR department, which is, you know, it's fair enough. That's their policy. But it does make it harder to get the presenters and the producers and the engineers and the journalists to speak on a podcast, because they're probably just not allowed to.
Well, I'm sure that is true. And I can see exactly where it comes from. In my time as a senior manager at the BBC, I went through the early days of that whole thing of, is it all right if I do an interview with The Guardian? Well, only if one of us comes to sit with you. And it's very debilitating, and it's actually treating you in a very childish, juvenile manner, because what I think we're good at as an industry off air is being quite robust in argument. But when we're on air, we seem to freeze and think, oh my God, I can't say that because Bob Shannon won't like it. Or, oh, you know, what if Ashley hears that? I might be sacked. Or what if Dee's listening? That slight sense of, I'm not going to say what I think, I'm going to say what the company wants me to say. If you do that, then you turn into you know, Chris Grayling or Gavin Williamson.
Yeah, we've had that with press officers wanting to listen to the interviews I'm doing for the podcast as they're being done. So we end up with a presenter on an ISDN line, a PR person on the phone listening in. And then at the end, oh, that was brilliant. Yeah, we loved it. It's always the same response. Yeah. Oh, it was fantastic. Yeah, we're really looking forward to that. Yeah, it was like, well...
A few years ago, I was in Salford and I interviewed Richard Maddock at Five Live, and he had his press person with him. And at the end, I said, so, you know, Gary or whatever he was called, Gary, was that OK? And he said, yeah, that's absolutely fine. And I left it in. because I thought it demonstrated how these things are done. There was a little bit of transparency about that. But, you know, why... When I give you another sort of example of this, when I first started at National Radio in 1979, nobody listened to any programmes I made or gave me any guidelines or any budget or anything. They said, you're the producer of this show, and it happens to be going out to however many millions of people it was on the BBC, and you get on with it because we've given you the job and we've trusted you to do it. And I do feel that a lot of radio programming now is much more constrained than it was in those days. And it's not to say that no producers have creative ideas, because they do. And it's not to say that no presenters are creative and you know, engaging, because of course they are. There's lots of very, very talented people in the industry. But there is more of a straitjacket, I think, and people are more confined to this is the message, this is what we do, this is the target audience, this is, you know, we must niche market and niche broadcast. And I think that's a shame. I think, you know, I'd like to feel that producers and presenters were a bit more trusted, perhaps as they were when I started.
And just to wrap it up on the Radio Today programme, you started that first episode, you had Bob Shannon on, he was the controller of Radio 2 at the time, whatever happened to him, eh? But
it's downhill all the way.
Have you got any highlights of the people you've spoken to on the Radio Today programme? I think probably the most listened to episode that you did was the one with Paul Gambaccini, where you went round to his house.
I was going to say that one, actually. That's the one I remember most. I mean, it is hard to do a bad interview with Paul because he's such a good talker. But he was particularly candid in that interview. And I was very proud of it at the time. And I did actually listen back to part of it not long ago, a year or so ago. And I thought, actually, this stands the test of time. He was exactly not what we've just been talking about. He was completely open and transparent and very candid, and he told me what he thought in a very honest way, and I love that. You know, there's loads of other stuff in the archives that people might want to go through and listen to that's, you know, pretty good. But no, that is one that stands out, I must say. And I'll tell you another one, actually, is I interviewed Ira Glass. Not when he was in London, but when he was doing one of those Radio Days Europes. And that's a good little interview as well, because I think he was shocked that anybody from England had ever heard of him. So he was terrific. I liked him hugely.
Well, there are 736 previous episodes. So if you took over about a year and a half ago, Stu, that leaves, what, about 600 episodes with Trevor at the helm. So plenty of archive to look back at. Can I just say, going back to what you were saying about letting producers get on with the show, we had a conversation a few months ago whereby you may have said that I don't provide enough feedback for your show, and you assumed that I didn't like it.
I didn't think you ever listened to it.
No, I did religiously, but I don't know if I tried to explain this properly at the time, but because of who you are a legend in the industry.
Oh,
I just let you get on with it. No, seriously, I let you get on with it, and just I should have, in hindsight, said, you know, every week said, fantastic show, Trevor.
No,
thank you very much.
That'd be worse. But,
no, but I was honoured for you to be working for Radio Today and doing stuff for us, so I kind of just
well,
left
Roy,
you
that's,
to it.
It's very kind of you to say that.
And now he said that, will you stay and come back next week?
Nah, it's time to go. Get off.
It's time to go. It's time to hand over to an older man.
And just finally, while we've got you on this week as well, sad news about Doreen Davis passing away.
Doreen, lovely Doreen.
And of course, you started, as you said, at Radio 1 in the late 70s. She was pretty much running the show.
In the old Egton House, Doreen ruled the fourth floor, which is where the daytime programmes were, and all the slightly hipper weekend John Peely kind of programmes were on the third floor. And I joined, and I was a third floor guy. And then for some reason, they asked me to take over a daytime show, which was the Dave Lee Travis Show. And I'll tell you a little anecdote. It's true about Doreen. On the first afternoon, because it was the afternoon show that Dave was on, she came barging into my office and said, "Trevor, what on earth is this noise?" And I said, "Well, it's a new single. It's who the hell's it by?" "Well, it's by the drummer in Genesis." She said she was absolutely exasperated. She said, "Trevor, we don't play progressive music in daytime." Anyway, this was In the Air Tonight, which did go on to be something of a hit, she was utterly charming about it, because some weeks later, when it got to number one, she came down and gave me a bunch of flowers to say thank you. I thought that, you know, that's a very Doreen kind of thing. And the other Doreen Davis, have you got time for another one?
Oh, go on then.
She was a lady of a certain kind of years, let's put it that way. And there were on the fourth floor of Egton House, there were two toilets. There was one at the far end, which was the ladies, and one at the kind of entrance end, which was the gents. And the gents was obviously nearer to the management suite. So when the girls, and they were all girls, used to go make the coffee for the men, what times they were, they would pop into the men's loo to fill the kettle. And this became frowned on. And it was Doreen decided that this wasn't to carry on, and that the women, the girls, as she would call them, would not be allowed to go into the gents. They would have to walk the whole length of the corridor with their kettle. And so obviously they complained. So Doreen took some time to think about how she was going to react to this. And eventually it was handed down from Doreen that it would be okay for Beverly, who was Derek Chinnery's secretary, Beverly could go in the gents and fill the kettle because she was married. But none of the other women would be allowed in there. And that's another Doreen story. I've just thought of another one. Another one. Do you remember the time when there was a producer called Paul Williams who used to play the piano on the Simon Bates Show? I can't remember quite what the feature was about, but it was called Willie on the Plonker.
Ah, yes, I've heard of that.
And Willie on the Plonker, and somebody wrote and said, "I think it's absolutely disgusting, the language that you're using in front of children on Radio 1, Willie on the Plonker. I've never heard anything more ghastly." So she wrote back and said, "I'm sorry, but I had never considered this. However, the feature is coming to an end, and you'll be delighted to know that Paul is leaving the programme and his replacement will be Martin Cox." So God rest her soul. She was a very good woman. I spoke to her not long ago, actually, when I was doing a programme about something or other. And I want it was about the early days of Radio 2. And I asked her to come on and talk about it. But she was very chastened by what had happened over the whole Jimmy Savile affair, because she'd been quite close with him. Mm. But she was always very honest and fair and genuine, and she was a good boss. Oh, that's the best thing you could say about Doreen. Lovely woman.
Yeah, and there's been lots of nice tributes from various other people, from Tony Blackburn and Mike Reed and Johnny Beerling, and lots of people who worked with her over the years as well. You can see some of those online.
Super.
Well, it's good to catch up with you, Trevor, and sorry that we won't be listening to you next week. Has he earned
well,
his fee?
Invite me on wherever you like, and thanks to everybody who did listen, and I'll still be listening myself, and thanks for having me.
Thank you, Trevor.
That was very nice. Thank you. I hope my stories were adequate.
We'll put a nice black and white picture of you on the podcast cover, and then everybody will think you've died or something. We'll just call the episode
yes,
Remembering Trevor Dan.
Tributes have been paid. All right. Thanks a lot, guys.
No, he's very much still alive. Reports of his death have been greatly exaggerated. Thank you so much to Trevor, and thank you to everybody who's taken part in our roundtable editions over the years as well. No plans at the moment for what we're going to do to replace the episodes that Trevor would have presented, but watch this space. Literally. Just ahead of David Lloyd, a reminder about Clean Feed. It's a great way to get yourself on air from somewhere different to normal in great quality, just using your browser. If you're doing OBs, interviews with guests, hosting from home or from somewhere different to usual, Clean Feed is great for that. It's been designed for radio people and for podcasters. It's really easy to use. And as we say, the quality is great. And you can even record within the browser. There is a completely free version, so Clean Feed won't cost you anything to get started. Get signed up today and you'll be doing your first live interview or bit for your show within minutes. Find out more about it at cleanfeed.net.
This Week in History, Radio Moments.
It's 30 years this week since the BBC launched the short-lived Radio 5.
You're listening to BBC Radio 5 on Monday, the 27th of August, 1990, as the clock ticks towards the launch of Britain's first new national network in 23 years on 9:09 and 6:93 a.m., T-minus 90 minutes and counting.
Welcome to the brand new network and the first special holiday programme on Radio 5. Take 5. I'm Bruno Brooks. We've got some great music for you.
1, 2, 3, 4, take 5!
Yes, I'm going to be with you for the next hour and a half at least with good music, as we've just said. Special guests include Paul Gazza Gascoigne, now there's a name you know. Mark Curry, of course, is with us today. Stories and quizzes with sounds like this.
Radio 5 was just bonkers. It was a bonkers radio station created by people who, I think, had gone bonkers at that time at the top of the BBC. Pig's ear of all radio stations. I mean, whoever had the idea that you could throw in children's series alongside Johnny Walker, alongside the genius of Danny Baker at breakfast.
We'll do that. There's another subject to add to it. Apart from any listeners got bare feet at the moment.
John Inverdale reflecting on Radio 5, which launched this week in 1990. Broadcast only on the old Radio 2 AM frequencies. It became BBC 5 Live 4 years later. 1979 now, and as your school summer holidays ended, a Radio 1 farewell as the BBC chart presenters change seats.
Biggest jump of the 20 this week, B.A. Robinson up 8 places to number 3 with Bang Bang. And goodbye and goodnight. The Boomtown Rats are down 1 place to
number 2.
We don't talk anymore. Will it be number 1 next week? Who knows? Thanks to the engineers over the last 2 years, and also to Bernie Andrews, but especially to Pinky, and to you for being tolerant. I'm going back to the stable now. I'll be spending my Sundays with the horses, listening to Tony Blackburn on Britain's Top 40.
Simon Bates ending his first run as regular host of the Top 40, which had been a Top 20, this week in 1979. The first commercial regional station in the East Midlands started life as Radio 106.
The official launch date of Radio 106 FM, Tuesday the 23rd of September, 6 a.m.
It then became Century 106.
With music variety and big personalities, the best station to listen to at the weekend.
Century 106!
The 12 o'clock news, I'm Cassidy Ward.
And then this week, 15 years ago, it changed to Heart 106.
Afternoon, I'm Matthew Smith, and this is Heart playing more music variety from Backstreet Boys with I Want It That Way.
Heart, or Heart 106, the first ever station to change to the Heart brand. Ironically, it was also the first ever to shed the Heart brand. It's now called Gem. Having said that, it's only 3 brand changes, isn't it? There are some frequencies that have had more. BBC Local Radio originally trialled the concept on 9 sites, and one of those closed this week in 1972.
Today is a very sad day for BBC Radio Durham. It's their last day of broadcast, and if you're listening up in the Durham area, you're probably more likely than not on VHF listening to Radio Durham. Well, it's closing down today, as you probably know only too well, and shutting up shop for about a year before the new radio station, BBC Radio Carlisle, opens up, I suppose, in about a year's time. Well, now you're about to leave us and do your own thing up in Durham, so let me hand you over to Eric Wythe.
Thanks very much, Peter Donaldson, and indeed it is my privilege to be with you on this very last morning. So what do I say? But good morning, this is BBC Radio Durham opening up for the very last time on 94.5 VHF and Rediffusion.
The end of BBC Radio Durham this week in 1972. On our birthday list this week, congratulations to Steve Wright. He's 66. Love the show, Steve.
Well, tonight's the night. Starting next Saturday night, I'm going to be running a little feature called Tonight's the Night. Next Saturday will be January the 12th. Now, maybe that's your birthday, or maybe it's the anniversary of when you first met somebody you love, or when you had your first date, or saw your first X film.
It's 3 o'clock in Great Britain. Now, live from the studios of 1FM, it's Steve Wright in the Afternoon, 1993.
Merry Christmas! All right, hello, how you doing? Last minute Christmas shopping? You and me both.
Hello. This is Steve here on Radio 2. How you doing there? All right. So nice to be back with you. I just can't tell you. Partly cloudy, partly sunny, scattered thunder.
Steve Wright, heard there starting on Radio 1, ending afternoons on Radio 1, and then his first show on Radio 2. And when you think back to his career and the sort of programme he's been doing, which has been remarkably consistent, still to this day, every time you hear him speak, it sounds as if he's saying it for the very first time. And that is a gift. So, with regular stereo broadcast beginning this week 58 years ago...
Well, we'll be back in a fortnight's time. If you'd like some more information about these stereophonic experiments, you can obtain a leaflet on the subject by sending a postcard, please, to the Engineering Information Department.
The first jingles from Jam aired on Radio 1 44 years ago. Harmony, opening in Coventry 30 years ago, later became Kix, then Touch, now Capital.
Starting off in this first hour is Pop Up the Bhangra.
Pop Up the Bhangra. Pop Up the Bhangra.
And Walter Gabriel, the character from The Archers, born 124 years ago, played by Chris Gittins from the start of the series, both character and actor dying in 1988.
What was it you wanted, my love?
Those are this week's Radio Moments.
Thank you, David, and to Roy Martin and our main guest this week, Trevor Dan, who won't be here next week with the Roundtable. Instead, I will be here with something topical about the radio industry, no doubt. Join us for that.
The Radio Today programme with Broadcast Bionics.
Original music for this podcast was composed by Mike Asoyo.